a turnover in front. Ovechkin with a chance, he scores! Alex Ovechkin waiting out Caden Primo. He scores on a pass from the top of the blue paint. It's 6-3, Washington!
All right, Alex Ovechkin's fifth goal of the year is called by John Walton on 106.7 The Fan and the Caps Radio Network. It is presented by our friends at Main Street Bank as Alex Ovechkin continues to chase 894. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Alex Ovechkin's side of the mouth. Well, the side of the goal crease, I should say. The mouth of the goal crease is what he wanted to say in English as the Capitals just buried the Montreal Canadiens in the third period last night. So Alex Ovechkin now with three goals in the last two games. He now has 858. Boys and girls, this might happen this year. A lot of people didn't think it would happen this year. It might happen this year. And he's someone got off to a little bit of a slow start, but a goal and two assists last night, 3 points plus two. He's been skating real well. He's, you know, playing 17 and a half, 18, 19, 18 and a half minutes. You know, so they're not overusing him. Five goals, five assists in nine games. And I'll tell you this much. We've said this all year. We love hockey. We don't ignore hockey. We don't dismiss hockey like some of my other compatriots do. The Capitals not only once again continue to get balanced scoring and balanced, and this is without Jacob Chychrun. This is without Fox, who they brought in from the LA Kings as a big free agent. This is continued contribution from all four lines, even though they've had a little bit of struggle with the third line, what have you. Connor McMichael, new daddy. Another goal last night, fifth goal of the year. Alexei Protas had one earlier. It was called back because of a very tight offside challenge by Montreal.
Important to note, that was a shorthand goal that got called back.
Good call. Alexei Protas with the fifth goal of the game. So he does get the one goal, but he probably, arguably, should have had two. And he's been great. As Matt just pointed out, shorthanded, Ovechkin assistant on that. Dylan Strome's got 10 assists. So it's Protas, it's McMichael, it's Ovechkin. Tommy Wilson had another goal last night. And here's the one thing that I'll say before we ask Matt for his experience last night at Capital One Arena because he went to the game. Here's one thing that I continue to say. This is now the fourth time by my count. I might be missing one, but the fourth time by my count in a home win this year. Vegas, Dallas, the Rangers, Montreal. Four home games, four wins, in which they have completely shut out the opponent in the third quarter, in the third period.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate.
No, it is accurate. I mean, trust me.
Yeah.
But my point is they were in a back and forth game for the first two periods, and then for whatever reason, they've been able to put the clamps down on somebody
just
in the third period.
Blow the barn doors off.
Yeah, and score three goals to your yes. I forgot that part. And like that hasn't been the case in all of these games. I'm talking about defensively, where they have not allowed a goal in the third period of those four home wins. And that to me says a lot about this team because that's when you're getting tired, obviously. That's when you could make mental mistakes, what have you, maybe take a bad penalty. Four home wins, four bagels in the third period defensively and in goal. And oh, by the way, they scored three. Now you were at the game.
Yes.
You took Lauren.
Yes.
Right? Was her first period.
No,
game,
I later found out that when she was a little kid, she went to a Flyers game way back when. Not old enough to know what was going on. And she, as she said, I had to ask my parents. So this was the first I remember fully. I kind of understand. I don't really understand hockey, but I understand the rules of the game, and I'm not going to get confused every 30 seconds.
So now does she, so she doesn't watch hockey like on a regular basis on TV or anything?
No, right? she's not, I'm starting to introduce her to it. It's not her sport. And I will say part of the difficulty is there are so many intricate rules to hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And for a sport where, depending on where you hit the puck, it has to come back because it went too far, is the same sport that you can fight someone and only be in a penalty box for five minutes.
Like,
the level of intricacy, it makes hockey not the easiest sport to
jump into. Was a music group. There was a music group, right, called Five for Fighting.
Yep.
Right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
There you go. But you guys overall had a good time.
It was a great
I saw a lovely picture of you two. Did I see right? Did she buy a Capitals jersey?
She did not. So her roommate, when she told her roommate, "Hey, I'm going to Caps game," mm-hmm. her roommate was like, "You're not going in just random like shirt. You're going to wear one of my Caps."
And you shouldn't wear Flyers gear.
Yes. So she wore a Caps jersey.
Okay.
The one thing that I will say, which I've noticed while watching, but it's one of the things that is really noticeable when you're there. The Capitals' rate of offense is mm-hmm. the big thing, big game changer that I've noticed this season. It's making sure that when they do get on offense, because I would say this is not the fastest offense. Mm-hmm. There are faster offenses that, like, I think the Lightning were, that was a perfect example.
Lightning,
of them being
Hurricanes,
able to switch onto offense mm-hmm. so fast and get you off guard, and that's their style.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps will set up in the opponent's offense and keep on taking shots through the middle and just keep on getting second and third. Like, that's our current offensive strategy. Get it in and then get second and third options off of it and have it, like, bounce around from person to person. And if you do it enough, it's going to end up in the back of the net.
I would agree.
I think all of that made, especially a high-scoring game like last night, which was 6-3, every single time the puck went by the Canadiens' goal, I was like, is it going to be a second? And you could see someone just half a foot off position and just whiff on the hit, that it would mm-hmm. have been an easy goal if they got it. But it was moments like that where I wasn't worried because, hey, we're going to get in another situation where we can create good offense.
No, I think that's a good breakdown. And here's one thing that I would just add, like, to your point about transition and speed and all that stuff, and then getting second and third chances and getting opportunities off of passes and going to the net and working the sides of the net, which is all the little things that you have to do, especially in the playoffs, but, of course, over a long 82-game regular season. I do think my sense is, I don't know this, I do think they are faster this year. They're not lightning fast. And when I say lightning fast, I do mean the Tampa Bay Lightning and, like, really fast. Like, the Carolina Hurricanes Sunday, really fast.
But you can see very good, successful fast breaks. That it's mm-hmm. one guy on, and all of a sudden, it just, we saw a puck, and he's got open ice. He's skating, going for it. That happens much more. That's happened already this season, I feel like, more times than all of last season.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. They are getting, and by the way, I screwed up. I said Fox for the injured defenseman. It's Matt Roy. My bad. I was thinking about another Kings defenseman. Sorry about that. It's just hard to keep all these names in gear, and he's been out since game one. But John Walton said last night that he and Chychrun are expected to come back soon, for whatever that's worth. The Capitals are getting contributions again from so many different guys. We've mentioned this a number of times. Protas, you mentioned, got the shorthanded goal taken away, still gets the goal. Obviously, Ovechkin is Ovechkin. Tom Wilson had the goal-scoring spurt at the beginning of the year, didn't have another one until last night, gets back on the marker. Dylan Strome's got 10 assists already. We know how important he is. They're winning faceoffs better, at a better clip than they have. Maybe not down the stretch last year, they were better at it. Winning faceoffs was a major problem. Like, specifically, no offense, when Evgeny Kuznetsov was here, he was terrible. Terrible. You don't win faceoffs, it basically robs you of puck possession time and the opportunity to do what, Matt, you were just kind of talking about, is have an extra opportunity, be able to take one possession and turn it into a second possession. If you don't win faceoffs, you don't do that. So the Capitals, in addition to getting a lot of contributions from a lot of different, you know, and again, Connor McMichael just taking another step. He's been on this show a couple of times. We had Rasmus Sandin right before the season. He's played, very well, had a big night the other night. Protas, again, you could see it at times last year. He has just continued to turn it on. And again, he's really good shorthanded, as Matt just alluded to. Even though it didn't count, he was good shorthanded on Tuesday night. It was good short. But the Capitals, think about this. They allowed, here's one little worry spot. They're allowing a higher goal to shots on goal volume than ideally you'd like. Like, the Canadiens scored 3 goals and 15 shots on goal. But again, they clamped down in the third period, did not allow any goals. The Rangers, at one point the other night, had 3 goals. Maybe it was 4 goals and 12 shots. Then the number of shots obviously increased in the third period, but they didn't allow the goal. So that is the one thing that you'd look at and you say, all right, if they can clean that up and continue at this pace of getting the kind of contributions from guys like Tyler Raddysh, from Jacob Vrana, who scored his second goal. Raddysh had an assist on Brandon Duhaime's goal. He's a little bit of a maniac. Matty, you didn't probably see this. He was mic'd up by Monumental. That dude is crazy. I mean, he is nuts in a good way. And he had the game-tying goal at 2-2 after they initially let it slip away. And Tom Wilson, again, scored his sixth goal of the year on the power play to get the scoring going. So a good win for the Capitals. Again, they didn't do as great in the faceoff dot last night, 61% in favor of Montreal. But they did really well on Tuesday night. I forget what the final numbers were, and it's been getting better. So, again, Alex Ovechkin's pursuit of Wayne Gretzky and NHL history continues right along. It's all presented by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. And yeah, what was once thought to be a for sure thing that we would not see until early next year, Alex, again, heating up. 3 goals in his last 2 games, 5 on the year in 9 games, and now 858 for his career. Gretzky at 894, the record at 895. All right, so there you have that. Wizards in Mexico City tomorrow night, right here on the Team 980 against the Miami Heat. Why don't we do this? Why don't we finish up on the phone lines here, because we're not going to be able to take any more calls. Let's go out to Matt, line 3, Mitch in Jersey. Get him in here before the weekend. What up, Mitch? How are you?
Hey, Chris, how you
What's
doing?
Up, man? What's up, Mitch?
I got these well and prayers and my thoughts out to Pete.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, he loves his family. You know, he's calling games, calling sports. That's not asking for too much, but I pray he gets better as soon as possible. And
yep.
Guys,
and well back, said. Thank you.
Back in the fold. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. I was just letting you finish.
Yeah, I know. I got the win here. I was hoping to watch them with trade for a wide receiver. Hope a run game, you know, picks it up. He doesn't have, you know, I'm glad he's playing, but if, you know,
who do you want? T. Higgins, you mean, or
like that, but are you kind of a bad team? I hope we can just run the ball, keep our defense off the field.
Yeah, are you talking about a T. Higgins or are you talking about somebody else?
Hello.
Yeah. All right, Mitch, we got to run because we're having some issues with the phone lines. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Mitch was talking about T. Higgins. That's the most notable name out there, right, that is perceived to be available. T. Higgins is hurt a lot. Mike Williams is available. I'm sure he'd cost you a bag of used football, but he's hurt a lot. But he's a big body type, right? I don't know. I don't know about you. I don't really. Look, I know T. Higgins would make them better, but he's hurt all the time. Not all the time, but he's hurt a lot. Too frequently. Mike Williams, he ain't going to help you as much as T. Higgins, but he's hurt a lot too. I mean, again, you can make a trade for one of these guys, but are they going to help you? I don't know. You know, one pass-rushing defensive end that, you know, could help, certainly, besides Zadarius Smith, is Jadeveon Clowney, I guess. You know, if they wanted a wide receiver, there was plenty out there. And they didn't go for that much money or that much compensation. I assume they don't want another wide receiver. I would guess if they're going to make a move, it's going to be at corner or edge. Remember what, who was it that told us this? I can't remember who we had on, but it was some analyst that said, you know, one thing you know about Dan Quinn, he loves pass rushers. And most defensive coaches love pass rushers. Why? Because it not only increases your pass rush, but it also makes average or mediocre corners better on the back end. And I would say this. Maybe it's not fair to just call them an average or a mediocre bunch, but if it's above that, it's slightly above that. It's not a good enough group. I think we all would agree with that. I think we would all agree with that. All right, coming up, our dueling Super Sunday six-pack. Six teams ranked 1 through 6 in the National Football League entering week 9 in terms of their progress and prowess. And as well, 6 games picked against the spread, including the Commanders and the Giants. Our official pick against the number coming up here in just a moment, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, it is a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. Coming up, clean up on aisle 3, all the crap that we didn't get to and that spilled all over the floor. Matt's going on vacation, so I guess we'll be dealing with old JT the Vic next week for a couple of days and whoever else. Matt, I want you to have a good vacation. We're going to talk about it during cleanup on aisle 3.
Sounds good.
Okay, but I want you to have a good vacation. It's well-earned. It's well-deserved. I'm happy for you. I'm also bitterly jealous. Coming up right here, right now, 6 games against the NFL spread, including, as we do each and every week, our official pick and prediction on the Washington Commanders. Let's get it going. All right, game number 1. The Dallas Cowboys at 3-4 after a Sunday night loss in San Francisco, which at times you thought, you know, maybe they're getting it going here a little bit. Still no official word that I've seen on Micah Parsons. We know DeMarcus Lawrence is out. The Dallas Cowboys and all of their shenanigans, San Francisco to Dallas to Atlanta, not impossible. The Falcons off of a somewhat controversial win in Tampa, in which their defense continues to get abused a little bit. That's been a disappointment, but their offense, for the most part, has been cranked up. And, yeah, they got the controversial touchdown from their tight end. But Kirk Cousins, as long as he's given a little bit of time, which has been a problem at times, is still Kirk Cousins. Even though Dallas is desperate for a win, and Atlanta's not because of the division they play in, I still feel good about this at Atlanta minus the 3.5. Because, again, I don't trust Dallas. I don't really trust Atlanta, certainly defensively. I could see this game going the other way. Atlanta hasn't been great at home. You know, they lost to Pittsburgh to open up the year. They lost on a Sunday night to the Chiefs. They lost a couple of weeks ago. They should have lost against Tampa on a Thursday night. So I'm a little ride of faith here, but I'm going to go Atlanta minus the 3.5 over the Dallas Cowboys. Game 2 in part 1 of our Super Sunday six-pack. The Raiders in Cincinnati. The Bengals are sort of, kind of getting things together. Kind of, sort of, maybe, we think. Who knows? The Raiders actually played the Chiefs pretty darn well. The Raiders have been plucky on the road. Remember when they were 9.5-point dogs week 2 in Baltimore, and they not only covered, but they won outright. This week, they are 7-point underdogs, according to ESPN Bet, which is the lines that we use on Friday afternoon. It might be different somewhere else, but we use what we use. When we do the picks, Raiders plus the 7 in Cincinnati is the pick. I think the Bengals win outright, but Raiders plus the 7 is the pick. Game number 3, game we touched on a little bit earlier. Will the Cleveland Browns have more reason to shred their team apart? After this Sunday, at home against the Los Angeles Chargers and one of the Flying Harbaugh brothers. Cleveland somehow is minus 1.5. Normally, home teams get that 3-point cushion, so I guess that's part of this. The Chargers are plucky. They are physical. They are feisty. But I think Cleveland will do a pretty decent job against their run. And if you can shut down their run and put pressure on Justin Herbert, not that he won't hurt you, but I think Cleveland can make enough plays, and I think Jameis Winston is the guy that just allows everybody to relax and feel good and feel footloose and fancy free. Give me the Cleveland Browns, minus 1.5, at home against the LA Chargers for game 3. Game 4 of our Sunday Super Six Pack, the Philadelphia Eagles, minus 7.5 over Jacksonville. That number's a little bit big. Again, we talked with Evan Abrams last hour. In case you missed it, podcast will be up on the Odyssey app, Team 980, or at the team980.com from the Action Network. He pointed out, as others have, 9 straight games dating back to last year, the Eagles have not scored a first quarter point. Not a point. And yet they're 7.5-point favorites in Doug Peterson's, I think, second return. I think he's been back since becoming Jacksonville's head coach, but maybe I'm wrong on that. I seem to remember that. But 7.5-point favorites, they're banged up at wide receiver. Christian Kirk's out. Their Brian Thomas, their stud first-rounder, is a game-time decision and is highly questionable. I think the Eagles at home, the last time they were at home, it was a little bit of a disaster. Remember Nick Sirianni yelling at the fans and whatnot after they beat Cleveland by, I think it was just 4 points? I feel better about the Eagles after road wins in Cincinnati and the Giants. Saquon is being Saquon. Jalen Hurts has played better. They're healthier receiver. No thanks to Jahan Dotson. Give me the Eagles. Minus 7.5 over the Jacksonville Jaguars for game 4. Game 5, right up the road in Baltimore, hun, at M&T Bank Stadium. The Denver Broncos. Hey, pay attention to the Broncos. Since a bad start to the year for Bo Nix, Bo Nix is playing some ball, baby. And their defense is really good. Lamar Jackson missed practice Wednesday and Thursday. I think it was limited today. He's expected to play. Don't know how well he'll play. The Ravens secondary has been spotty all year, and it was again last week in Cleveland. Give me the Denver Broncos. Plus the nine. Whoa, they have 5 wins on the year, plus the 9 in Baltimore, hun. And game number 6, as we do each and every week, we pick the Washington Commanders game, whether we like it or we don't like it. Give me the burgundy and gold, minus the 4 against the New York Giants. Now, listen, I think the Giants will be plucky. I think it'll be a tougher game than most people think. I do not think it'll be one-sided. I could see maybe the Commanders pulling away late after a Daniel Jones turnover or some other kind of mishap for the Giants. But I think it'll be a one-score game much of the way. I could be wrong on that. If Washington comes out 13-14-0, I'll feel better. And I'll hope that they can hold on. But I think Washington is good enough to cover the 4. Obviously win outright, and maybe again they do it pulling away late with an extra touchdown or game-sealing touchdown or something like that. And even if you think about it realistically, right, if they're down 3 and they score a touchdown late, they win by 4, presuming that they kick the extra point, and then I push. Or if they go for 2 and they make it, then I win. How about that? Washington minus the 4 over the New York Giants. So again, the picks: Atlanta minus the 3.5 at home against Dallas, Raiders plus the 7 at Cincinnati, Cleveland minus 1.5 against the Chargers in the Dogtown, Eagles minus 7.5 in Filthy over Jacksonville, the Broncos on the road plus the 9 over the Ravens, and the Washington Commanders at MetLife Stadium, a game I will be at, minus the 4 against the New York Giants. Top 6 teams ranked 1-6 in the NFL. We are the only people to do dueling Super Six Packs in one segment in the history of sports talk radio. We are innovative, we are creative, we are fresh, we are just full of ourselves and full of crap too. But we do this to annoy the ever-loving daylights out of the youngest in charge. No committees, no honorable mentions, no nothing. Here you go. The Kansas City Chiefs, numero uno, still undefeated. Who else could you go with? The Detroit Lions. It doesn't seem to faze them whether they're in Dallas and they're destroying them, at Minnesota. We'll see about this Sunday in Green Bay outside in the cold. It is supposed to be nippy. The Detroit Lions at number two. Next week's opponent for the Washington Commanders at Northwest Stadium, the Pittsburgh Steelers. On a bye this week, number three, after a physical win against the New York Giants on Monday night. Russell Wilson playing pretty well. Number four, the Baltimore Ravens. Off the bad loss in Cleveland, can they come home and answer the bell against a good defense and an improving offense in the Denver Broncos with the big number? But I'll go number four, the Baltimore Ravens. Number five, the Green Bay Packers. All sorts of injury concerns to Jordan Love, to their running back, but they've got enough weapons where I think they are still a high-caliber offense. Malik Willis has played well when he's been asked to, and their defense led by Xavier McKinney has been great or pretty darn good. Give me the Packers, and they've got a big one against the number two-ranked Lions. And number six, the Buffalo Bills, who host Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins this Sunday in Buffalo, rematch of the Week 2 Thursday night game. So again, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Packers, the Bills. That means the Commanders are not in our Super Six Pack for a second consecutive week. They weren't either. Last week, actually, I believe it's three consecutive weeks. Huh. Cutting down the home team. Cutting down the home team. And by the way, last week we went in 20-20-2 through 7 weeks of the season. Last week we were two and four is what we were. Not good enough. Sorry about that. We did win on the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. Denver covering the big number, 10.5. We did win on the Tampa-Atlanta game. We had Atlanta minus the 2.5, but lost everything else. So 2-4, 22-24-2 through 8 weeks of the NFL season. Time for a quick trending alert, and then we're back with cleanup on aisle three. All right, so the injury news for the Commanders is this. Cornelius Lucas has been ruled out by head coach Dan Quinn after his injury suffered in Sunday's win against the Bears. So that's the bad news, but the good news is Brandon Coleman is coming back after missing one game. He is making his return to the lineup as well. Frankie Luvu, who missed a couple of days of practice this week, is expected to play, according to Quinn, as is Cleveland Farrell. So again, the Commanders with some good news, some bad news. They visit the New York Giants Sunday at 1. Our Earl Forsey gets our pregame coverage underway at 9. Linnell and Denton at 11. DOC after the game, and if you're making the trip up to MetLife, wave hi at the press box. I'll be there covering the game for us here. Meanwhile, the injury news around the NFL, we were just mentioning the Bengals and the Raiders. Looks like no T. Higgins and no Zach Moss for the Bengals. They're both doubtful, along with Orlando Brown Jr., their stud left tackle. So they are dealing with a bunch of different injuries, are the Bengals. They take on the Raiders on Sunday at 1. And as far as Sean McVay goes and the L.A. Rams, another injury to Puka Nacua yesterday, but it said not to be serious, and he said, McVay, quote, he wouldn't bet against Nacua playing against the Seattle Seahawks this Sunday. Wiz on their way to Mexico City. They'll take on the Heat tomorrow night, late night here on the Team 980, and the Caps with back-to-backers after their big win against Montreal last night. If you missed that recap, hit the rewind on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app 2-3 o'clock. And that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us as we round things up here on a Feel Good Football Friday. Yes, baby. Again, the Commanders, 4-point favorites at last check. The ESPN stats and info, not stats and info, betting, what a ESPN bet is what he wanted to try and say. I've got them covering the 4, winning outright, obviously, improving to 7-2. Earlier in the show, we discussed, you know, how disappointing it would be, quite honestly, if they don't make a trade before the trade deadline. You don't get these opportunities very often. Pull the trigger. Za'Darius Smith. The veteran corner from New England that we mentioned, that NFL.com came up with, Jonathan Jones, I think is his name, or Jonathan James, one of the two. I think it's Jonathan Jones. Pull the trigger. Do something. Add somebody. There are weaknesses. There are holes. You don't get this opportunity very often. It's not fake. It's not a fraud. Last year, they were done at the trade deadline. I knew it. You didn't want to admit it. I said it a week before. I said, trade Chase Young, trade Montez Sweat, both of them. You all thought I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They did exactly that, and they were done before that, and then done officially after that. You have to know what you are. If Adam Peters is looking in the same mirror that I'm looking in, they are a good team. Not a great team. They are a good team, and they need help. So that's kind of the summation of that. And also, attack Deontay Banks. He is in the big-time Chateau Bow Wow of Dable and that staff. I don't even know if he'll make it through. Terry and he have had some battles over the last year and a half. Terry is on a heater. Attack him right away. That's the number one thing that I could suggest on offense and on defense. Again, attack off the right edge of your defense, the left edge of the Giants' offense. They don't have Andrew Thomas. They have a young player at left tackle who stinks, or at least who stunk last Monday night. I'll tell you that much. All right, let's get to what we do at this time each and every day. Hit it, Maestro. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two. A mention.
Clean up in aisle 3.
Clean up on aisle 3. Yes, indeed. You know how we play right here on the Team 980 each and every day. Everything that we, well, not everything, as many things as possible that we didn't get to and we didn't get to spend a minute on. So let's do it right here and right now. We told you the Dodgers are having their World Series parade. There was all sorts of looting and arrests and all that made in Los Angeles. Again, I continue to say, Washington, D.C. sports fans can be criticized for a lot of things. A lot of things. And some of them are fair. But you know what? When we won championships, there was none of these problems. I'll just continue to say that. From the NBA, we got bad news last night. Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, who earlier this week scored 50. He's got a torn oblique. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. Yikes. For the Orlando Magic, one of the best young teams in the NBA, but one of the other good young teams, the New Orleans Pelicans, are going to be without C.J. McCollum for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks, and forward Herb Jones is out 2 to 4 weeks, according to the team. McCollum's got a right adductor strain. The other guy's got a right shoulder strain. McCollum is in his fourth year with the Pelicans. He's averaging almost 19 points a game, 4 assists, 3.5 rebounds. The thing that I love about C.J. McCollum, besides the fact that he's a pretty good player, he's from Canton, Ohio. He went to my kid's high school. How about them apples? Glen Oak High School in Canton, Wehio, as Tyler would call it. So get well, get healthy, C.J. McCollum. Some big injuries in the NBA. Oh, and this. Also, Joel Embiid and once again Paul George are going to be out for the Sixers tomorrow night, and Embiid is a re-addition after being banged up late in camp and whatnot. Joel Embiid out for the Philadelphia 76ers, at least for tomorrow night as well. The WNBA, haven't spent any time on them. The Indiana Favorite have named Stephanie White their new head coach. So that means she gets to coach Caitlin Clark, which comes with all sorts of pressure. But if you can get it right, you can get it right. Now, she was just fired as head coach of the Connecticut Sun. We told you about that earlier this week. So they go and hire a pretty successful established head coach to come in and lead Caitlin Clark. And hopefully Caitlin Clark can do what she did in year two, maybe even better. Hopefully the Mystics get their head coach going here pretty soon and their new front office, and away we go. Obviously, we'll talk more WNBA when the season comes back around next year and whenever the league makes news. And then I wanted to add this. Matt's going on vacation starting, I don't know when you're leaving, Matt, but this is your last show with us for a week. So you won't be back until after the Steelers game. And I think even maybe not directly that next day, if I have it right. Where are you going and why are you leaving us?
So I am taking a vacation to Cancun because I have not taken more than 2 days off in the past 5 years. And the opportunity came up for me to be able to go down to Cancun for a week for not terrible, terrible price. And I took that. So I'm going to be enjoying the sun in the beach, in the pool, and Mai Tais, and all that good jazz. I leave Sunday morning, so okay. Actually, unfortunately, I'm going to be in flight for the first little bit of the game on Sunday. I land in Miami, which gives me the ability to watch basically the first half, and then the second flight down to Cancun is like 2 to 4. So I'm basically going to miss the second half unless they have the Commanders game.
Oh, on like DirecTV on the plane?
I will say that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
I would be.
That
I would
be cool. Well, if you need anything, you have a pal that's going to be there. So I will try and check my text messages more frequently than I normally do during a game because I'm very, 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 very busy, as you know, creating all sorts of chaos on Twitter and X. So you're going. So who's on the trip? Right.
It's me and Lauren. Uh-huh. It's just the two of us. We're going to be at one of the resorts in Cancun. Haven't really figured out everything.
I thought it was a family trip. Did I misunderstand?
No,
that?
this is not a family trip. This is so long story short, family had like points that they're part of a like vacation club thing. They had points that were going to go extinct and they were like, well, we need to get rid of these somehow. Does anybody want to go on a trip? And I was like, I'll take some points.
I'll go.
And yeah.
That's awesome. So you're going to one of those like all-inclusive resort
it's
type
not,
thingies?
Not all-inclusive. No? That's the one downside. But I mean, that's not really that much of a downside because I'm still going to be in Cancun.
Yeah, man. What's the weather supposed to be like? 80-ish?
85 highs, lows of 75.
All right.
So
just be safe down there. There's a bunch of maniacs running around down there. You know, be safe.
Yeah. I will do my best. I'm not doing anything stupid. That's part of the whole we don't have anything planned.
Right.
Because we're going to wait till we get there and talk to the concierge and be like, so what's actually a smart thing to do?
Yeah, I've never been down there. I mean, I've been to Nassau. I've been to St. Thomas.
I went to Cancun when I was 13 with the family, and that was a lot of fun. Excited to go back and be of drinking age.
Well, yes, that would help. That would help. Although I would say also, you know, drinks might be a pretty penny. I'm not sure how things work there. I guess it kind of depends on where you're going. All right,
that's why you get a quick bottle at duty free on your way.
Yeah, have fun. I'm happy for you. Enjoy. I'm very jealous.
I will leave you
and envious.
In the very capable hands of JT the Vic.
Oh boy, we will try not to. We will try not to ruin the show while you're gone. Speaking of ruining things. Coming up, dum-dum of the day. You're never going to believe what happened on a recent United flight that actually has something to do with where we broadcast out of. We'll tell you next as we wrap up the show and wrap up the week right here. Dum-dum of the day straight ahead on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping things up here on a feel-good football Friday. You never know what's going to happen on a plane, but you also never know what's going to happen with the Giants place-kicking situation. Maddie, believe it or not, we have breaking news. We have breaking news that I just was passed along by our guy Danny Curlin, who saw this and saved the day. Because Dan Duggan, of... some newspaper in New York. I think it's the New York Daily News, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Just tweeted moments ago, the Giants have announced that place kicker Greg Joseph is out for Sunday's game with an oblique injury. They will be promoting practice squad kicker Jude McAtamy to kick against the Commanders because Graham Gano is still hurt from getting injured in week two on the opening kickoff on Austin Eckler's return that was called back because of a penalty. So, again, the Commanders are going to get a practice squad kicker, Jude McAtamy, who I've never heard of, replacing Greg Joseph, who was himself. We talked about him actually earlier in the show. Somebody brought him up. Can't remember. But anyway, thanks to all of those people for the help on that. Yes, indeed, you know what time it is. It is time for Dum Dum of the Day.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
All right, we told you this on a United flight recently. And, well, the United flight, as in this past Monday, was headed from San Francisco to Washington Dulles International Airport. An unhinged man, as the New York Post says, a unhinged man from Florida, which should be of no surprise to anyone, was walking up and down the aisle, coming back from the bathroom, when he decided, for no reason, to just start pummeling a deaf and nonverbal passenger who was asleep.
Wow, did you hear that?
Yes. The passenger was asleep. And let me remind you, he was deaf and nonverbal. And that pisses me off because I know people that are very close to my kids and have been very good to me that are deaf.
You're just a loser or a jackass. You can be A or B.
So, not to make fun of the victim, but Everett Chad Nelson, 44 years old, got up to use the bathroom while returning to his seat. He decided to stop at seat 12F and without notice began physically attacking a sleeping male passenger, punching him repeatedly in the face and the head until blood was drawn, according to the actual complaint. Of course, the crew did what they had to do. Eventually, a passenger got up and helped save the victim because there were blood-curdling screams. There was blood splattered everywhere, all over the plane, all over the seats. He was said to be just, again, aggressively pummeling a dude who was sleeping and raining down blows for about a minute, they said, before the Good Samaritan jumped in. And then the Good Samaritan actually made sure that the alleged perpetrator did not do anything more for the rest of the flight. Again, remember, they were going from San Francisco to back home here at Washington Dulles, and this was about midway through the flight, so they did not have to make an emergency landing. The Good Samaritan saved the day, and the victim, unfortunately, had a broken nose and some other issues and obviously some cuts and lacerations and some bruises and, again, was deaf and nonverbal. So this is a really, 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 really tough dum-dum of the day, but this guy might be the dum-dum of the century.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
What is wrong with you people? Whether you're drunk or not, what is wrong with you people? That's all I want to know. Again, silent auction finishes up in just hours. BestBuddiesHomecoming.org is how you can get aboard. Lots of great items, lots of great bids, all to benefit for nonprofit Best Buddies. We have a big surprise coming. We'll have more details on that next week. It has something to do with the Commanders. We will tell you about it next week. Maddie, have a great vacation. Enjoy. You guys deserve it. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Have fun. Come back rested, and I'm bitterly jealous. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you back here at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoon, hopefully after a Commanders win. Craig Hoffman up next. Adios.